Good evening. It's my real joy to be with you. See some kind faces here. Surprised. Nice to see you all. And we pray that if you don't know the Saviour, that you might come to know the Saviour even this evening. If you have your Bible, please, could we turn first of all to John's Gospel and chapter number 16. We want to look at the Godhead working in unity for the benefit of mankind. God is interested in your never dying soul. My friend, you have to spend eternity somewhere. We want it to be heaven now. We hope your sins are forgiven and that you really are ready to meet God. First of all then, we're going to read in John chapter 16, and we'll cut in for the sake of time at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, back please to chapter number 12. Chapter number 12, please, and we'll cut in at verse number 22. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And so on. Down the chapter a little, please, to verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, and will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Verse 47. And if any man hear my words, if any man hear my words, I will want you to hear his words. So important. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now finally back to John 3. Well known verse, I'm sure. It used to be. I don't know if it's so well known in our country anymore. I wonder if you know this verse. John chapter 3, please, and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned or judged, but he that believeth not is judged or condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now may God add his blessing to the reading of such holy scripture this evening. Now just simply, I want to bring to you this great message of salvation that comes from the very annals of heaven. It is the gospel of God. Romans 1 teaches us that. It's the gospel of God. It comes from the very heart of God. A God that loves you, dear friend. A God who's proved that love by allowing the darling of his bosom, leaving the splendors of glory and coming right down through the virgin's womb. I want to tell you, this is a different kind of man that we want to present tonight. This is the Savior of the world. I wonder if you have a Savior friend. Are your sins gone? Are you ready to meet God? I tell you, that's vital. You'll never walk the streets of gold without the work of the Savior. We heard it in prayer. That work was finished completely. The wrath of Almighty God has been appeased, and His wonderful love and mercy and grace is shining right down tonight exactly to where you are. I thought perhaps in John 16 we're going to see there the witness of the Holy Spirit. Why tell you that's vital? One of the Godhead three. He's not an influence. He is a person. And because of that, He's absolutely divine. And we're going to see that He's operative in the salvation of men and women and boys and girls. And we want you to understand it's important to hear what He's saying about the Savior. And then we're going to look at John chapter 12 just for a little. And we're going to see there the work of Christ. Oh, my dear friend, cause God, His impeccable Son, the only man that had the right to live, is the man they impaled on a Roman gibbet. They crucified Him, God's innocent Son. Forsaken, He died on the tree. I want to ask you, is that Savior your Savior? Have you got a Savior? Are you ready for heaven? Are your sins gone? Are you ready to meet God? I tell you, that's absolutely vital. Dear friend, don't leave the building without Him. You might never get back in it again. Not that that's important. But what is important, you need to find Him in time. You need your sins forgiven in time, dear friend. And we're going to look at the work of Christ. And then as we come to John 3 and 16, my dear friend, we're going to see the winsomeness of God. Our God is not an austere man. He's not sitting up in heaven frowning down on this old planet longing for judgment. He's not. 2,000 years have run its course. My dear friend, His love is shining down just like the sunshine in Scotland, would you believe it, today. My friend, that love is shining down. We want it to shine right into your heart. You see, this is a living message. This is a change of direction. This is a change of destiny. This isn't empty religion. That world's sick of religion. They're sick of hypocrisy. Sick of people who say and do not. I tell you, they're sick of it. They're looking for reality. And maybe you're here with a broken heart. Maybe you're here troubled tonight. Maybe you tossed and turned last night. And maybe you thought, what if, what if, what if? This is the last night of my life. What if it was? Would it be heaven? My friend, that's what we want you to consider. As we consider the winsomeness of God. For God so loved that He gave. That whosoever, still for the whosoever, you know. This message is for the whosoever, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. Have you got a Savior? Are you really ready for heaven? Let's come back just very quickly, and I'll not keep you long. I usually like to get finished by midnight, so don't worry, we'll be here for a wee while. Let's look and see the work of the Holy Spirit, please. Look at this essential work here. It's really just described in three verses, really. That's what it is here. And we're going to look what He says here, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Would we tell you a lie? Would the folk up here come and lie to you? My friend, this is the bedrock truth. This is the Word of God. Is that what you're building on? Is that the foundation of your trust? Is it this man? Is it this one? It has to be, or you'll never walk the streets of gold. I tell you, you never will, dear friend. And because of that, you really need to consider the truth of the Word of God. He says, it's expedient for you that I go away, as He speaks to His disciples and these Jews that were round about, because many heard Him. And they said, the Comforter will not come, that is the Holy Spirit. He says, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. You say, well, what does He do? Well, we're going to see that from the verses we're reading together. Look what He says in the next verse. And when He has come, He will reprove. Oh, my dear friend, look at this word with me. It can mean to convict. It can mean to convince. You see, that's what the Word of God will do. That's what the Spirit of God will do. I remember in Helensburgh, when I was under conviction of sin at 18 years of age,
Oh, I wondered if God would love a rebel like me. He couldn't possibly. Sorry, these are nice people here. They were all nice people. They prayed and they read their Bible. I cussed and swore and stole and cheated. God can't love anybody like me, surely. But you know, I was convicted there. And it was John 3:16, really. But listen, I want to grasp this. I don't want to leave this. This is very important. He's in the world and he's reproving. He says the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Not much righteousness about. We're living in a sin-sick society, aren't we? Plenty unrighteousness. Not much righteousness. Says the wise man, righteousness exalteth a nation. Indeed, I worked for John Lane for 20-odd years in the building trade. Loved every minute of it. But you know, these big rough men used to come into my office, and if you were a hypocrite, they'd mix you in the concrete as well. They didn't suffer fool's gladly, I tell you. If you weren't real, they had no time for you. Because I've seen these big men with tears running down their face. What is it you've got that I've not got? I've got the Saviour, I said. I wish I was as brave today as I was then. I said, I've got the Saviour, you know. And spoke to them about the Saviour. And one day, one of these men, a very elderly man, he was almost due to retire. He'd been out in Africa, he'd built power stations, and goodness knows what. He was a master at his game. He just walked into my office and said this. He says, Joe, he says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Sins are approached to any people. I nearly fell off my seat. Never once did he ever say anything spiritual. He would cuss and swear, and not in my office, but I could hear him. I couldn't believe it, and he just walked away again. I didn't really get to speak to him at that moment. But my friend, you see what the Word of God, it was in his mind. Maybe he was convicted. I really don't know. But look at this Word with me today. Look what he says when he is come, and he has come. He says he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. My dear friend, sin. What is sin really? What is it? Well, it's really missing the mark. That is the idea. It's like the man who fires the arrow right to the board and he misses the mark. It falls short. You and I fall short, friend. I fell dreadfully short. Do you feel that in your heart? Do you feel the weight of your sin? Do you feel that there's something missing? It is. There is something missing. You see, my friend, there is. Because this sin, he says in chapter 8 and verse 24, I said unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not in me, ye shall die in your sins. That's what the Savior said. You mustn't die in your sin, friend. You must get to Christ about your sin. You see, it's upon earth that sins are forgiven. There's no purgatory taught in the Bible. My dear friend, it's upon earth that sins are forgiven. 3 times in the Gospels we're taught that. Don't die in your sins, friend. Get rid of that sin question. Whatever you do, please consider the way you're going. Convicting, it can mean convicting, and it can mean convincing. You see, the idea of the Holy Spirit working in the world is to prick a person's heart until he senses and feels and knows his guilt. Oh, I felt that all right. I was filthy. These people were respectable people. They were Christians. Do you feel that? Do you feel the burden of your sin? Has it pricked your conscience? This message, maybe last Sunday you were going to trust Christ, but the old devil, he just got your mind away in something else, and you never did it. Maybe it was the Sunday before. Maybe it was the Sunday before that, and you're sitting here without them. My friend, you mustn't leave without them. Oh, can I appeal to you? What am I saying to you? He feels that he's done wrong. We feel it in our soul, and we fail to do right. You know that. How often have you tried to live a better life? How often have you given up? Made a New Year's resolution? You're not into January, it's broken already. You see, that's what the Spirit of God is doing. He's convicting you of sin. He's reproving you. He's convincing you. He wants to convince you. He wants to prod. He wants to challenge your heart. He wants to make you feel and realize the fact that this word is true, and it will be in judgment, my friend, if you don't do something about it. Of sin. Oh, I don't need to tell you here and in or leaving about sin, do I? Our children aren't safe anymore. The pedophiles, the corrupt, wicked people. How wicked and depraved, and what we're going to see next, we don't know. But you see, that's exactly what sin, that's what sin is, you see. It'll take you further and further and further away from God altogether. It will. And it'll take you to where he's going, and his days are numbered. He's going to be cast into the abyss. Is that who you're following? I followed them for 18 years. Thank God to get rid of them. I wish I'd found them at 8. I wish I'd found the Saviour at 8. Wouldn't have tasted half of what I did. Dr. Seuss said, my wife goes to the chiropractor in Edinburgh quite a bit. It's a lot of help. And you know, this man, he's always got wee poems up, and this is one he wrote. This is one that Dr. Seuss wrote. I don't know the man. He says, your brain's in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. That's right, isn't it? You can go any direction you like. But I want to say, as far as the gospel is concerned, I would say that's all right for time, but it's no good for eternity. Dr. Seuss has never thought about the great eternity. Why? Because to omit the direction the Bible gives is to miss everything. Says the Lord Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's exactly, my friend, what we want you to consider. Your sin, the convicting of your conscience about your sin and the way that you're going. And my dear friend, listen, he is the only way to the Father. You see, that's it. It necessitates new birth. You need to be born again into God's family. There's a wee man, don't know if I've told you before, in Ibrox, 2 or 3 years ago, Martin Hunter and myself were having gospel meetings there, and this wee man, Jonathan McCart, Roman Catholic background, mother of Jehovah Witnesses, aunties, sisters, all Jehovah Witnesses. The poor wee boy was in Stirling University, and his mind was so mixed up with empty religion. Didn't know where he was going. But he came to the meetings. Dear Mark Johnson's son, Andrew, brought him along to these meetings, and he went to stay with Mark to look after him. And he waited the very first night, I think it was. But he was nowhere near salvation. But he was so derailed in his mind. He was convicted, but he didn't know what he was convicted about. He didn't appreciate that there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. He didn't appreciate that. And we sat with him for 40 minutes anyway. And I'm not sure we got very far. But he did come back on the 4th or 5th week. And we said to him, Jonathan, what is it tonight? Oh, he says, it's got to be Christ. He says, I want to be made right. Look at my second point. Look what he says. He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not in me. That's it. You need to believe this message. You need to believe it. You need to feel the weight and burden of your sin. You need to feel you can't go another step. You need to feel that sin needs to be removed. You don't believe that God loves you, do you? You don't believe that Jesus Christ has died for you, do you? You don't believe that. You just want to live your life. You just want to do your sin. You just want to practice sin. My friend, you'll never be in heaven. I tell you, you won't. You need to believe this message. So what is he saying then? Of sin because they believe not in me. Look at verse 10. Of righteousness. You see, this was a man that was approved of God, the Savior. He's saying to you today, of righteousness because I go to my Father. The time was coming, he was having to leave them, and there were going to be the rest of them. But why did the Holy Spirit come? To convict you of your sin. To convince you that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friend, have you got him?
Peter says, if you repent, repent ye therefore and be converted. We said to Jonathan, well, what is it tonight? He says, it's got to be Christ. I need Christ. I've got to get him, he says. And we sat for another 40 minutes. I'm happy to tell you at the end of it, Jonathan McCart, he cried his way to Christ. Felt the burden of his son. Felt he couldn't go another step. Felt he had to get Christ there and then, or it was never. My friend, have you got him? Have you ever repented? Has God made a dreadful mistake? Has Jesus Christ died in vain, friend? Has he God made a mistake? Why did he allow his impeccable son to be made sin? That you might be made right. That's what Paul says, not just John. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin was made sin. That you and I might be made right, acquitted of all guilt. I don't care what you've got. You might be the worst villain in inner leaving. Oh, but you might be the finest. You might be the nicest. You might be the most benevolent. You might be the kindest person. You might be the best neighbour that anybody could ever have. Spoke to a man in Manchester once, gentleman, beautifully dressed, immaculate villa, walking my way down the street. Knocked this big man's door and he came out, yes! I said, I just want to tell you about my saviour. We've got 10 meetings over in the park there. Oh, I said, son, I don't need a saviour. Just go down the street, he said, I'm the best neighbour anybody could ever have. Bam! Shut the door. That was the end of it. Didn't even get to tell them about my saviour. I believe the man. I believe the man was a good neighbour. He was kind. I believe he would be. My friend, things. Things will never get you to heaven. Sin can only be eradicated by the man that went to Calvary, righteousness. You can only be made right because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Look what he says, please, quickly, I must move on now, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. But look at the next one. Look what he says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Go to Revelation 20, verse 10. Then he's going to be cast into the abyss. His days are numbered. He's a defeated foe. Get rid of him. He'll damn you and doom you in the lake of fire. He'll take you away from God's love and from salvation. He'll take you away to where he's going. If you'll go out the way you come in. Have you got them now? My friend, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, how could it happen? Come back to chapter 12, quickly. Time's almost gone. Look at this. Oh, come back to chapter number 12, please. Look at the work of Christ here to save mankind. And Jesus answered Andrew and Philip and said, the hour has come. Go through this lovely gospel. The hour, at this time. You see, this was no make fix or anything like that. This is in the determinate counsel of God. This is all in the purpose and plan of God. Calvary wasn't a makeshift. God was never caught out of his sin. But let me tell you, God did something about it. Emptied heaven of its bed, gave the darling of his bosom, right up to the awful death of crucifixion. Look at my verse, please, just very quickly. And it says, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Glorified? Going to Calvary? Suffer, bleed, and die? Be crucified and slain? Oh, he's going to be glorified, I tell you. His God's going to be glorified. And so are you. If you would repent and trust Christ, you would own up to your guilt and say, yes, I need this man. I need him. I need him more than anything in the world. Look at my verse. Look what he says quickly. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it will bring forth much fruit. You see, that's the reason for Calvary. God is gathering in a harvest. Millions upon millions upon millions, my friend, are on their way to heaven. Are you? You're on your way to heaven? Are you on your way to hell? Are you going to bypass them?
Are you going to say, I don't believe this man? Are you going to say, I don't want Christ? Are you? Oh friend, this, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let me tell you about Jonathan McCarr again. He got Christ. He got baptized in Linwood Gospel Hall. Dear brother Matt and I were through and we shared the meeting, and it was packed with Jehovah Witnesses and Roman Catholics, Church of Scotland. Maybe you're the last one in your family. Maybe you're the first. I was the first in our family. And I think nearly every one of them, except two out of seven, have trusted the Saviour. Could you be the last one, perhaps? Mother and father in heaven. Maybe a brother and sister. Maybe even us. We have a man in our meeting, Willie Innes. He cries for his father. Cried for his father and his mother for years, weren't saved. He was saved, and all his brothers and sisters, and there were five of them. And I've never heard a man in a prayer meeting cry so much for his father. Cried. And you know what? Before his mother died, she said, Willie, I want to tell you, I got saved years ago. I'm a backslider, but I know where I'm going. As far as we know, just before his father died, he confessed Jesus Christ as Lord of his life. Have you confessed him? Have you got him? Work of the Holy Spirit, is he convicting you? Do you feel the weight and burden of it? Work of Christ, absolutely essential for you. It's essential. That work is essential for this world, but they won't have it. But look at my last point. Look at John 3 and 16, please. Just for a minute, I must finish. Time is almost gone. Look at the winsomeness of God. Ah, my dear friend, for God so loves Scotland. That wouldn't have done the English much good, would it? God so loves England, that wouldn't have done Scotland any good. God so loved the world. Are you in that world? You see, the night that I was saved, that's what the preacher said. He says, God so loved the world. He said, are you in that world? And you know, the penny dropped with me. Penny dropped. I'm in the world, I said. I said to myself, I'm in that. That means God loves me as well. Is that as well as that? My friend, listen, don't spurn it. Don't bypass him. Don't say you don't want him. Tell him you want Christ. Tell him you want rid of your sin. Tell him you want to start for heaven. You've got brains in your head. You've got shoes in your feet. You can travel everywhere you want, but are you traveling to heaven? It has to be this way. It has to be through this man. For God so loved that he gave, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you got it now? Have you got it? I'm not asking if you break bread. I'm not asking if you say prayers. I'm asking, our dear brother Jim Smith would have said to you, is there a time when? Is there a place where? Is there a place where? Is there a time when you realized your guilt and you are convicted? And you said, it's Christ for me. It's got to be Christ. Have you got him then? Don't leave without him. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Shall we pray? Our gracious Holy Father, give deciding grace now. Thwart Satan's purposes. For we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. No time's gone, but could we just sing a verse, please? Just remaining seated. 260, please. Our meeting's over now. If you're not sure about God's salvation, if you've never trusted the Saviour, we'll sit here till midnight with you to get you to Christ. We'll help you as best we can. Don't leave the building without the Saviour.
260, where, only you can answer this now, where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me, tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? The first and the third, please, and the last. 1, 3 and 4, just remaining seated, 260. Thank you.